B'Hashem is Baruch, we begin in Perek Sheni, the second chapter in Rambam's Hilchos Tumah, the nitin laws of the claimant and the defendant in the Sefer Mishpat, the Book of Judgments. We continue with the theme of the previous Perek discussing the laws of oaths as it applies to monetary cases. Where in this Perek we discuss specifically regarding someone who is suspect, however, regarding taking oaths. As the Rambam begins Halachah, where he qualifies this category. Kol chasher al hashvu, whoever suspect regarding taking a false oath, so imash bein, they say, we don't make him take an oath. Leishavu Satori can't take a biblical oath, but Leishavu Medbrayim can't take a rabbinic oath regarding those that you take holding a holy object, and not even Leishavu Tassis, which is even the lowest type of rabbinic oath. And even the claimant wants him to swear, ain't trembling, we don't listen to him, we don't allow this person to take an oath because we don't trust him. Halacha Beis. Now, Echad Anishba L'Sheker, whether someone swears falsely a Shavu's Bitui, which is an oath of enunciation saying that what he's going to do and he doesn't do, even though he swore to that effect, or Shavu's Edus, or false testimony regarding that they claim they don't know testimony, really they did know, or Shavu's Abakadon, or a false oath regarding that he claims he didn't have a deposit and he really did have a deposit, or Shavu's Shav, or just a generic false oath where he says regarding stone that it's wood, or wood that it's stone. So either way, Hadiyu Chashal HaShavu, this person now becomes suspect regarding oaths because he's lied under oath before. And Mechin Kol HaPasul Edus, anyone that's also invalid for testimony because of a sin, whether it's biblical invalidation, those who lend money on interest, or eat not kosher, or robbers, or whether they're invalid rabbinically to be witnesses for reasons like gamblers, which either is that the birds are also racing or getting other birds with your own birds. Either way, it's some type of a suspicion that the guy would do sins for monetary purposes, which he would then lie under oath to. So, and therefore it's not valid for testimony. That also makes him suspect regarding oath. And therefore, such a person, we don't have him take an oath. Now, halacha gimel. But a person does not become in this category of suspected. Of edim, unless there's witnesses that come on him, but that he committed this sin, which would invalidate him. Let's say that he was gambling or had eaten nevela, non-kosher. Now, someone, however, on his own that admits that he suspects, and but that he says, I did that sin, they would invalidate him, and essentially he's claiming that says, okay, let the guy, my opposite party, let him swear and collect. No, although we are concerned for him, and therefore the ain role, we don't let him initially be a witness for that reason. But if Neschayv Shuv is obligated an oath, then if we don't have testimony from others, we make him take an oath. Because we tell him like this, if it's true what you're saying, okay, Yeshava, swear. Now, not because you did a sin, are you prohibited to swear for the truth? It's only because we're concerned that he might be lying under oath. If it's true what you're saying, fine, swear. And if you're lying, well, then admit to your litigant. So either way, like you're here admitting on your own, so either way, admit there's two. Now, but someone who is suspect with witnesses, then we don't trust him to swear, and then he can't swear. Now, Halacha Dalet explains how this plays itself out regarding a biblical oath. Takan's Chacham, it's a rabbinic injunction. Whoever is biblically obligated an oath because the party is making a definite claim. If he suspect, so the claimant is now rabbinically going to be able to take the oath, because the defendant can't because he's chashed, and he takes what he claims. Let's say, however, both were suspect. So the oath goes back to the one who's obligated in, shehu anitra, where it originally starts off, that's the defendant. Now, the halach is a metuch she'enichol l'shavei, since he can't swear, which that lets him off the hook, he can't because he's chashed, then he has to pay. Let's say the suspected person was a guardian. Betoyin is claiming that the defendant, the guardian, sha'avad apakad, and they got lost, or enigma, or got stolen, that like to let himself off the hook because he's a shayim achinim. Shekenegdi enyuchli shavei abalito. The opposite party, the owner, cannot swear and collect. Why not? Because he's not making a definite claim that that guy ate it up. And therefore, we don't say that since he can't swear, he has to pay only when the opposite party is making a definite claim and he's suspect. But this case, where the guy's suspect he can't swear, but the opposite party is supposed to swear, but he can't because he's not making a definite claim. So lefikach, therefore, since the reason why he's let off the hook is because it's a doubtful claim, but in toin balabakon bama, but let's say the owner of the deposit, he says and he claims b'fonai shalach yod b'fonai, in front of me, so he's making a definite claim. I saw him misappropriate my deposit, which he wasn't supposed to touch. Or I saw he was negligent, which that would make him liable. even as the Shemachinim, and that's a definite claim, then since the defendant cannot swear, then the claimant will be able to take this rabbinic oath and collect what's owed to him. Halacha continues regarding how it plays itself out with rabbinic oath. Nischayev ha-chashid, let's say the suspected one is obligated to shvum in the brain, in the rabbinic oath. So, if he was from those rabbinic oaths that swear and collect, let's say like an employee, in yuchel shadei v'lito, so he cannot swear and collect because he suspect. Ela nitva shekenegdoi, rather the employer, the defendant that's opposite him, yishava hasas v'potter, he takes the rabbinic oath and he's let off the hook. Evachim pugim shtar, same thing goes regarding if, let's say, a lender admits that he received part of the loan already, only part of it, and the borrower is claiming, I paid it all up, which the halach is that the lender has to swear when he wants to come to collect the document. Or b'chol k'yitzv is anything similar like this, which is if the claim from biblical law, he would take without an oath, but the chacham imposed an oath. For example, let's say those who are coming to collect from the assets of orphans, where shahoy chashid, if let's say this one is coming to collect the suspect, v'tarin ha'levish ha'paroi v'amar, and the borrower, the defendant, is claiming that I paid it all up. And the borrower is saying, yishav ali, let the lender swear to me, which he has to, but since he cannot swear, so the defendant swears a rabbinic oath and he's let off the hook from the document. Halach above. Let's say the suspected one was from those who swear to exempt themselves behind the suffix from a doubtful claim. Like we spoke about in the previous paragraph regarding when there's partners or sharecroppers. So in a nishba, so he doesn't swear if he suspect, and ain't she connect the nishba, and neither is his opposite party take an oath. First of all, because this guy who's obligated an oath is not obligated in a biblical oath. And the one who's making the claim didn't make a definite claim that he could swear on this claim. It's only when it's a definite claim. Since it's Suffolk and it's also rabbinic, so therefore he cannot take an oath. Halacha Zayin continues now regarding the lowest type of oath, that of Shvuas Hesus. Let's say the suspected individual is obligated in the rabbinic oath of Hesus. So, ain't you connect the Nishba B'Neitel? The opposite party, the claimant, cannot take the oath and collect. The reason for this is, Sheshvuas Heses Atzmaot Takanahi. This rabbinic oath of Heses is rabbinic injunction. We didn't make a takana for the takana. That, okay, when the defendant cannot swear, then the claimant will take this rabbinic oath. If he cannot take the oath, so the defendant ultimately is exempt without an oath. Halacha ches, mishin is chayv shvuas heses. Someone's obligated in the rabbinic oath of heses. V'hoya taveya chashid, and the claimant was suspect. So ena nitva yochel hafach olav hashvua, which we had said in the previous parak halacha yod that you could flip a shvuas heses. So we're saying in this case the defendant cannot flip the oath onto the claimant, and the reason that is shari ena yochel shaveya, because he can't swear. So the claimant, the defendant can't say, oh, since he can't swear, the halacha is, if you can't swear, you have to pay, so I want to get off the hook without paying. No. Since that guy can't swear, you can't flip it in that case. Eli Yishalim, rather, the defendant either has to pay, or Yishav HaHeses, or he has to take this rabbinic oath. And the ain't shem lezeh, litlis bedavah she'efshe. We don't listen to this guy to suspend it on something that's not possible, where you can't flip it onto him because he can't swear, he's chashim. And therefore, if I raise the commission, it's like someone wants to flip the oath that he's obligated on the other party that's a minor. Shane Chamberlain, we don't listen to him because the minor can't take oath. Again, either he swears the rabbinic oath or he's got to pay. Halacha Tes continues regarding what happens if a suspected individual swears and the continuation of the laws of how long does he stay as a chashid, as a suspected individual. So, Mishnah Chayv Shavuah, someone's obligated in the oath. Bishul Tar, Bishul Lebrim, whether a biblical oath or a rabbinic oath, the Nishba Menotla, and he swears and he collects, which Halacha allowed him. Or Nishba Benifter, or he swore and he was exempting himself. Then the Achach Bol of Eidim Shu Chashim, then subsequently, witnesses come along and say he was suspect, which a suspect individual is not believed to take an oath. So Ein Shavasa Yishu Nishba Klum. Now retroactively, the oath that he took has no validity. V'yishla Baldinoi Lohitza Miyodim Ashenotla, and therefore the other party could take out what the guy had taken, or the opposite party takes the oath and he could collect from him. So essentially undoing what was done with the oath. Now, we always treat this person as a chashid, as a suspected individual, until he gets lashes in court. And that is, so if this witness is on this person that he already got lashes and he did repentance already, then he goes back to his upstanding state, to then resume saying testimony and to be able to take an oath. Halacha Yud-Aleph continues with regarding an oath and opposing witnesses. So Mishatan al Chaveri, someone makes a claim on his friend. Bekafa Bayan, the defendant denies the claim. And Ben Ishbeni takes an oath, Ben Shavuos Atar, whether it's a biblical oath like Moed B'Miktas or Ben Shavuos Esso, whether a rabbinic oath. Then the Achar Bo Eidim Vahidulav, Shal Shek and Ishben, and subsequent witnesses come along and say, no, they testify opposite, which obviously shows that that individual had said false oath. Then there is Masham. Obviously, now he has to pay. And more of a Huxlik Chashad al Shavuos, now he's been established as suspect regarding oath, like we know he lied. Krabian Meshuvos already explained the laws of oaths in the seventh parak Halacha Aleph. Shekala Nishba al Mamon Chaveir Vasitru. Whether a Rebbe swears on someone else's money and he does repentance, then actually Chayav Lohesav Chaimish. Besides that, he has to pay the money that he denied. He also has to add on a quarter, which in the sum total will make it a fifth, including the principal and the addition. Halacha Yud Beis. Let's say the guy claims that he has a debt by that person that was with witnesses and with an acquisition. The defendant says, "Kin hayu, you're right, there was such a thing. But I paid you up already." Oishamay says, "In the chayv l'chaklum, I don't owe you anything." Doesn't say never was. I don't owe you now. The nishmani swears. Then ma'achkar bo edakin, and then subsequently he guy brings the witnesses of the acquisition. Ohoitze ashtar v'niskayim, or he actually produce a document where it's verified. Now, when you have a document of a loan with witnesses of an acquisition, the bar is not believed anymore to make a claim that he paid up the lender. So the halacha is going to be, harizim hasham, obviously he has to pay, because his oath will not get him off the hook, because we have witnesses saying that he owes him, and you don't make a shvur in such a case. But ve'en chashid, he won't be suspect, because shari lahi idu shalei paroi, the witnesses didn't testify that this guy didn't pay him up. So although you're right, the document regarding the monetary judgment will award this to the lender, but that doesn't invalidate the claim that the defendant is making that he paid up. We don't know that. It's just it won't win. And the defendant didn't say that this never happened. When the witnesses are not refuting the claim of the one who's taking the oath, it's just that the testimony wins the court case. So, and therefore they're not going to accept the claim of the defendant. That will not make him a chashid. And mechik case was anything similar like that will have this halacha where this is not really making him a chashid, although he is losing the case.